Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Hall & Company and features Peter Myers of Farmers & Merchants Bank. Peter's a first vice president with Farmers & Merchants. And we're going to talk about business lending in a post-Great Recession economy, which is a very interesting topic. But before we get into that, Peter, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I really appreciate being on today. You have a great show, and I really am honored to be a part of it.
Well, it's totally my pleasure, Peter. I've been wanting to have you on for quite a while. And before we get into this, some of what's going on in banking, share with us and our listeners a little bit about you. Tell us about you and your background.
Sure, absolutely. I'm a 32-year commercial banker. Got experience at banks from huge multi-billion dollar levels all the way down to helping start up a small community bank in the Inland Empire. Currently, as you mentioned, I'm a first vice president and I'm a senior lender with Farmers and Merchants Bank in their Lake Forest office. I have a bachelor's degree from Loyola Marymount University and graduated also from the prestigious Pacific Coast Banking School at the University of Washington. My beautiful wife, Jennifer, and I, we live in Lake Forest, so I have a nice short commute to work when
nice.
I'm in the office, you
Very
bet.
Good.
And we have two sons still at home. One is graduating from high school here in June, and the other is finishing up his freshman year here pretty quick. My volunteer time is split between two key areas. One, I'm a guest lecturer at California State University Fullerton in their Center for Entrepreneurship. So I help teach access to capital, working capital, and just basic information about banking. Students need that these days. And then the other thing that I do, I'm also a chief credit officer for the Orange County Small Business Financial Development Corporation. They administer California state guaranteed loans. So I have two really good volunteer pieces that I take care of.
Well, I can tell your heart's really in giving back and helping the small business owner who is the backbone of our economy these days.
And you got that right.
They need all the help they can get these days. And so we want to talk about Farmers and Merchants a little bit and more about what do you do on a day-to-day basis as a banker. Let our listeners know
sure.
who aren't familiar with what you might do.
Yeah, Farmers and Merchants Bank is a fantastic multi-generational family-owned bank since 1907. They have 23 offices, primarily in southern Los Angeles County and in Orange County. As I said, my office is in Lake Forest, and my geographic area tends to be the South Orange County area, but I call all over the place, as you'll see in some of my examples. As a lender, I have a responsibility to clients. I have to help them make sound financial decisions about their business and personal lives. It doesn't only include making prudent loan decisions for business and real estate purposes, but it also provides good cash management products and accounts so that they can be assisted in their daily flow of personal and business cash. And also, these days, with all the technologies that's out there, trying to educate customers on these latest electronic banking products. Over the 4 decades that I've been in banking, I've been exposed to nearly every product a bank can offer, from personal loans and checking accounts to commercial construction lending, permanent refinances on real estate, working capital lines with sophisticated cash management services. And having sat on key bank management committees like a loan committee for a small community bank and asset and liability committee groups that help determine the course of where a bank is going, I've understood how to price services fairly so that both the client and the bank can win. Here's an ideal client for one I look at as
okay.
a commercial bank.
Great.
I just did this last month at Farmers and Merchants. It was for a fourth generation family-owned testing laboratory in the Inland Empire.
Mm-hmm.
The company wanted to refinance a term loan that had been used to pay off some old shareholders. They needed a line of credit because they were growing quickly and their receivables were getting very large. So they had some short-term cash flow needs. They also needed to refinance one of their two commercial buildings that they house their laboratory services in. So there was one problem with the transaction on the commercial real estate loan. It had a very large prepayment penalty. And for years, they hadn't been able to get out of it, but they had a high interest rate. So we got creative at Farmers and Merchants, and we brought over the loan with a one-year reduction in the interest rate, a significant reduction. But the bank said, over the long term, we're going to make money. Let's help our client out. So we reduced the interest rate for a one-year temporary period, and that helped the client recover a chunk of that prepayment penalty they had to pay the other bank. In addition, we set them up with a set of deposit accounts tied to our cash management suite. It included online banking, remote deposit service, electronic debits, and bill payment features. And the key piece here, Bill, is all of this is quarterbacked by me. So if the client has a question or need, they make one phone call, and I take care of quarterbacking those issues for them. That's a true benefit for a community bank like Farmers.
And that really speaks to the need to have a relationship with your banker, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, the important thing, a lot of people think, well, I'll call the banker when I need money, or I'll call them when I can't pay on time or I'm in trouble. But how important is it for someone to check in with you periodically and let you know what's going on, just informally, and keep in touch?
And it's not just their responsibility, it's my responsibility to reach out to my clients as well, too, just to keep a finger on the pulse of the business, understand what's happening in their particular industry. And because I bank large numbers of businesses, I usually have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the economy. I'm also I call myself a closet economist, and it's really necessary if you're going to be a truly good consultative banker.
Well, I've always known you to be a wealth of knowledge with a lot of different aspects to be able to talk about with people regarding their business. So
thanks,
it is important.
I appreciate it.
But I guess the question would be for our listeners out there, is your banker calling you regularly? Are they getting in touch with you, or do you have to reach out to them? Do you have the relationship that you're really looking for? And maybe you need to think about having a relationship with a community-based bank like Farmers and Merchants. So think about that when you're thinking about your banking relationship. It is important to check in periodically. So we're going to take a short break in just a second, but briefly, what's changed in the business lending environment, Peter, in about a minute, if you can?
That's a rough one, but let me talk fast,
notes.
Bill.
Okay.
When regulators evaluate loans that banks are making, they're looking to see if a bank has a primary and secondary source of repayment listed for the business that's borrowing. Bank loans traditionally have a lower threshold of risk because they're made with the deposits of the same bank's clients who rely on FDIC insurance in case a bank fails. So the bank, in order to keep that FDIC insurance policy, has to have prudent lending guidelines. So what happens is most loans to businesses and entrepreneurs require a personal guarantee. Your primary source of repayment is normally going to be the cash flow of the business, and your secondary source of repayment frequently is something like the ability of the guarantor, the owner of the business, to pump cash or pull some money out of their real estate equity in order to help the business during a stressed economic time.
That's why you signed twice on the loan document, right?
Okay. So during the good economic times, like 2000 through 2008, customer usually had pretty good personal cash and brokerage accounts, great real estate equity, and they were able to call upon those funds when they needed to pump up their business. But when the Great Recession hit, a double whammy occurred, and that was first the drop in real estate. Here in Orange County, it went 25 to 45% down. In the Inland Empire, it went 60% down, and that just crippled a whole lot of business owners. In the meantime, they pumped cash into their business that they had, thinking that the recession was going to last maybe 12 to 18 months.
Right.
But
like usual,
it went a little longer, and all of a sudden they ran out of funds. On top of this, as the second part of that double whammy, our Congress, in its infinite wisdom, passed the Dodd-Frank Act. That required banks to put even stricter financial requirements on banks and their borrowers. So in other words, bank credit became impossibly tight. It was a real double whammy.
So it's been a tough time from a business owner standpoint in working with banks because of situations beyond everybody's control.
Absolutely.
And we're going to come back after this short break and talk about some of the fixes and things that are in the works for that and what the current situation is, and also ask you for some client stories and some tips and ideas and precautions for our listeners. We'll be right back after this message.
Do your advisors think like a buyer? At J.K. Murphy Advisors, we use a think like a buyer, not an owner perspective to help private businesses of all sizes identify challenges, overcome obstacles, and achieve the objective of increasing the market value of their company, regardless of whether they choose to sell, raise capital to grow, or focus on growing their business without a transaction in mind. For information, contact Murph at 213-705-0391. That's 213-705-0391.
Attention business owners, buyers will pay more for your company if you show it's a virtual money machine with steadily increasing profits. Boomer Age owners still have time to double their profits with help from profit stimulator Bill Lilliquist, Springboard Business Consulting and Coaching. For a free video offer, go to www.springboardyourprofits.com or call Bill directly at 708-941-0869. That's 708-941-0869 to double your profits.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you will find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. So please give a listen. I'm talking with Peter Myers from Farmers and Merchants Bank. And before the break, Peter, we talked about the double whammy that happened because of the Great Recession and the tightening of the regulatory environment, and really created a hardship for a lot of small business owners and the way they could work with their banks and the way the banks could work with them.
Absolutely.
So are there ways to mitigate some of the changes in repayment sources and guarantor support of these business loans that we're talking about?
Yeah, Bill, you know, there really are. Today, as a business owner, you just need to do some really careful shopping to seek out good business lending programs. In the current economy, most surviving small and middle market business owners, they've cut expenses and are back to making good profits, but they don't have a whole lot of working capital left for expansion. So, in other words, they've got a primary source of repayment, but not so much when it comes to a secondary source of repayment. And this is particularly true for service-related businesses, which make up the majority of our businesses today.
Absolutely.
So, the answer to obtaining a good secondary source of repayment that banks and regulators are comfortable with actually goes right back to our government in the form of guaranteed loan programs. So they're available at the federal level in the form of Small Business Administration loans, or SBA as they're called, and also at the state level here in California via the California Small Business Guaranteed Loan Program or the California Capital Access Lending Fund. These programs will provide guarantees to banks of up to 80% of the amount lent to the borrowers, thereby giving the banks and their regulators a comfort level in extending credit to a company that, to some level, has had some financial weakness that prevents them from obtaining traditional bank financing on their own.
Now, Peter, are these loans, are they competitive with loan rates that are out there and those types of things?
You'll tend to see that they might be perhaps 1% higher, but for the most part, they try to keep them very competitive, particularly the SBA program.
Okay.
They're very, very careful to make sure that there isn't high rates being charged for their programs.
And is there a lot of paperwork on these types of guarantees and things like that?
You know, there's going to be added paperwork compared to a traditional bank loan. The SBA has a fair amount of it, but there's a lot of help through local SCORE programs that are administered by the SBA. They provide consultants that can help you with the paperwork. And then on the state guarantee side, actually, the paperwork is fairly minimal. Pretty easy stuff that you can take care of as a business owner.
Now, you talked about your role as a chief credit officer for the Orange County Small Business Financial Development Corp, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you give us an example of something you did with them?
Absolutely. You know, I just recently approved a transaction for a community bank that was requesting a $2.5 million guarantee for a rapidly growing business that purchases large volumes of goods from Costco and Walmart. These are goods that have been returned by their customers. They might have, you know, packaging problem or something like that, but they're still readily resellable. So what they did, they would turn around those, repackaging them, reselling them in the secondary market, and they had this huge need for inventory and accounts receivable lending. And the state guarantee program was a fantastic solution to their working capital needs, and it helped that community bank secure that transaction.
That sounds like a well-needed program for a lot of business owners to look into. Now, when someone comes to you and wants credit these days, do you have any good advice for them? How should they get prepared for it for you?
Yeah. So, Bill, the most important thing that I could tell an entrepreneur coming to me for a loan request, you got to have a concise, fact-filled story about your business. Whether you call it a business plan or a strategy or whatever you want, I just want the owner to tell me, how did you get started? What's your particular niche or area of expertise? And why they're successful in that area. Then specifically, tell me, how is my loan going to help your business? How are you going to repay it? Give me a plan. Give me an action plan. And what will you do when that inevitable hiccup occurs and your business cash flow becomes tight? If you can tell me a great story about your business and have the financials and projections to back up your story, the odds for your approval fall heavily into your favor. Bankers do want to make loans. It's how we make money. Taking clients' deposits and simply investing them in low-paying securities isn't going to make a profitable bank. So we want to make prudent loans and, of course, get paid back.
So let me ask you the difference between, say, the major banks that have a lot of resources and a huge number of branches and a lot of employees and the community banks that are the backbone of our banking system, really, in the communities. Why would one person favor one versus another,
Peter? Absolutely. I'm going to make the big plug for community banks. They're defined, a community bank is defined as a bank with less than $10 billion in assets and usually has a relatively small geographic market area. It could be as small as one single city, one location, or it could be as large as the Southern California area going from Los Angeles County down to San Diego County. Utilizing a community bank means you're practicing socially responsible banking. These banks take deposits from their local clients and further stimulate the local economy where you live by making loans to those businesses right in that same area. When you deposit money at a TBTF bank, that's too big to fail.
Okay.
Your funds are spread throughout their market territory, which could mean it's even going outside the United States. Don't we really need to keep our money right here helping our local economy to improve and increase jobs? That's socially responsible banking.
That is so well put. We're running short on time. I need to ask you, though, to our listeners out there, why wouldn't you talk to a community banker who could really get to know your business and really help you understand your needs and refer you to other people that you need to know about? I know you're part of a big networking group, and you practice that as well, Peter. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Best way, really, give me a call. You can call me on my cell phone even. I'm available. It's 949-412-2061. You can also email me at peter.myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S, at FMB, like FarmersMerchantsBank.com.
Great interview, great story, and I really appreciate you coming in, and I hope you'll come back and join us again. We'll get deeper into this topic.
It would be my pleasure.
Thanks very much. We're going to take a short break. We've been talking with Peter Myers of Farmers and Merchants Bank, easy for me to say, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.